With your money briefing, I'm Charlie Turner in New York for the Wall Street Journal. Stocks rallied from earlier declines Friday, but the major averages ended a bit lower, snapping a five-day win streak. The Dow Jones Industrials lost 5 points, the NASDAQ Composite dropped 14, and the S&P 500 fell a fraction. Winning issues still topped losers overall, and it was a strong week for stocks, both the Dow and S&P, which climbed out of correction territory Thursday, gained more than 2% on the week. The NASDAQ added more than 3%. Akane Otani is markets reporter for The Wall Street Journal, and she joins us in our studio. Akane, the markets put in a pretty impressive performance this week, despite the government shutdown, which showed no signs of ending. First of all, why don't you tell us what drove the market gains?
Well, we really saw a rebound from what some investors had been saying looked like oversold conditions. The sell-off that we saw at the end of 2018 was really something, and I think it caught a lot of people off guard. I mean, as you know, we ended the year with the S&P 500's worst annual performance since 2008. So that kind of selling pressure, I think some folks were saying, was not warranted by the economic data that we were seeing in the U.S. I mean, it has been mixed. It has been volatile around the world. But generally, I think folks believe that we still have at least a year left of good, steady growth here. So to some extent, there was a little bit of people coming back into the market after a pretty dramatic sell-off.
Yeah, I mean, the Dow Industrials are up 10% since the low point on Christmas Eve, which was a terrible session. And they've risen about 7% over the past 3 weeks. I guess signs of a break in the frosty relations between the U.S. and China on the trade front, and some fairly hopeful signs from the Fed on interest rates.
That's right. Those were two other developments that I think really encouraged investors in the past week. For one, the U.S. and China's agreeing to meet to discuss trade again, even though it didn't necessarily lead to a concrete resolution, it just signaled to investors that the two countries are still willing to talk about the issues that are at the table. And I think there was a little bit of relief that there wasn't a last-minute cancellation. And then with regards to the Fed, we saw more signs from Fed officials throughout the week that they're willing to take a gradual pace when it comes to rate increases this year. And that's a kind of messaging that we've been hearing more and more of in the last couple of weeks as the markets have really swung and we've seen economic data sort of coming in mixed. And I think it's something that investors are really taking to because there was such an emphasis on the Fed last year and this real fear that they were going to move too quickly for the economy and for the markets. But we saw Fed Chair Powell really emphasizing that policy is not on a preset course and the central bank does have room to pause if the economy shows further signs of deteriorating.
I get the feeling that the Fed is paying attention to the markets.
Yeah, and it's something that Powell was not expected to necessarily be as sympathetic to as his predecessors. And he has said things along the lines that sort of suggest that the central bank is not there to just bail out the markets. They're there to really step in when the economy shows signs of fading a little bit. And that can include volatile periods in markets. But just because we see a 10% drop in stocks doesn't mean that the Fed is going to step in and make a sort of declaration about its rate increases. So I think people were a little bit, I guess, relieved to find out that, you know, he is clearly watching and acknowledging the volatility in markets.
So is this sort of back to normal, a sign that investors are embracing risk again? The so-called risk-off trade is off?
I think we'll still have to wait and see. Through the traders' notes that I've been getting, there is a sense that we have found a little bit of a bottoming out process in the last couple of days. And so it seems like stocks have been starting to try to stabilize from the selling pressure that we saw at the end of 2018. But there's so much up in the air, especially with banks starting to report their results in the coming weeks and a lot of earnings reports starting to come in that could really spur some more volatility in the markets.
Yeah, we did get one bit of good profit news on Friday. You know, General Motors boosted its earnings guidance for 2018 and predicted a stronger performance for this year. But you mentioned it. Could that be where the good news ends for fourth quarter corporate earnings reports? After all, trade uncertainties led analysts last month to downgrade their corporate earnings estimates.
I guess it depends how you interpret the numbers, because analysts still think that we're going to see double-digit growth for the fourth quarter, which would mark five straight quarters that we've seen double-digit earnings growth for the S&P 500, which really shouldn't be dismissed. But then on the other hand, we have been hearing warnings from different companies, including Apple, that have really spooked the markets and given investors a sense that the coming quarters are not going to be as strong as what we saw in 2018. And that's partially to do with the trade war, partially to do with slowing growth around the world. So I think we'll be watching very closely what the commentary is like on the earnings calls, because the numbers may be relatively strong, but what officials say may be a little bit bleaker.
What about stock market volatility, Akani? Is that a thing of the past, or are we in store for more of it?
Well, we certainly have seen a huge retreat in the VIX, which people sort of look to as a barometer of expectations for swings in the stock market. So I saw earlier that it was on track for one of its biggest retreats at the start of a year ever, which is pretty remarkable given how volatile things were at the end of 2018. But again, the scale of the moves across, you know, all the markets has been so extreme lately in terms of the selling that we saw, the rebound that we've seen this week, and then the moves in the VIX back up and down. So I think there's sort of a sense that things could very much change at a whim.
Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akani Otani. Thanks a lot, Akani.
Thanks for having me.
Fourth quarter earnings season is starting up in the new week. The financial sector is well represented, with American Express, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, and J.P. Morgan Chase weighing in. Also, keep an eye on profit reports from Wells Fargo, Morgan Stanley, and Bank of America. The big tech earnings report of the week comes from Netflix, and we'll hear from insurer United Health and airline giant United Continental. With the government shutdown scene extending into the new week, several economic reports will likely be delayed. So here's an incomplete list. On Tuesday, the Labor Department will issue its December Producer Price Index. That same day, the New York Federal Reserve releases its January Empire State Index, a survey of manufacturers in New York State. Later in the week, we'll get a similar manufacturing survey from the Philadelphia Federal Reserve. We'll find out how home builders are feeling when the National Association of Home Builders issues its January Housing Market Index. The Federal Reserve comes out with December industrial production figures, as well as its latest Beige Book economic survey of regional banks. And we'll get the mid-January Consumer Sentiment Index from the University of Michigan. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for the Wall Street Journal.